When life throws you the unexpected, wouldn't it be great to have someone right there with you? Like a good neighbor, State Farm agent Thomas Horn is there, ready to help protect what matters most to you. Call Thomas today at 229-798-4018 for a free quote. He might just save you money and get you better protected. Serving all of Southwest Georgia, like a good neighbor, State Farm agent Thomas Horn is there. Visit his website at thomasismyagent.com.
Lane's teams can lay an egg.
Percy said he threw that game film out.
We've been talking about this game in Athens for at least 2 years.
Welcome to another episode of the Southern Football Report, presented by Thomas Horn State Farm. Give him a call today to see if he can save you money and get you better protected. 229-798-4018, like a good neighbor, Thomas Horn State Farm, serving all of Southwest Georgia. ThomasIsMyAgent.com. Kyle, you know Thomas.
ThomasIsMyFriend.com. I've been knowing Thomas for a long time.
Yeah.
We go way back.
Yeah.
Glad he's part of the pod now.
Big shout out to Thomas Horn, State Farm agent up in Moultrie, serving all of Southwest Georgia. So if you are listening on the Flint Media family of radio stations, or maybe you've downloaded this podcast in Southwest Georgia and you're interested in saving money on your auto, home, or life, visit ThomasIsMyAgent.com.
Thomas is my agent.
There you go. We have a testimonial here.
He is my agent. He is also my friend. Report. He is also a new dad. Congrats to Thomas. Oh, yeah. New dad in 2025. Happy for him. His wife, Alex.
That's awesome. Congrats. Yeah, good people there. All right, boys, let's dive right on in as we always do here on the Southern Football Report. We'll do a little bit of an intro directly across from me. I've got Brian Howell in the studio. Brian, how you doing?
What's up, fellas?
Doing all right?
Yes, sir. Y'all?
You nervous?
Not yet.
Okay.
Still early in the week.
Yeah.
Big game coming up on Saturday.
Saturday will be.
Yeah. To your right, Kyle Shaver.
Big week this week. Big week locally for my local team. Big week nationally for my Dogs.
Yep. If you're listening to this on the radio on Saturday morning, a couple of games will have already been decided, one of which is Thomas County Central hosting region rival Lee County.
Yeah, big game Friday night.
Florida State fans might recognize the name Lee County because that's where a certain running back, freshman running back, played the last few years.
What's the spread on that one?
I have no idea.
That's going to be a good game. That's two good teams.
Yes.
Lee County's only losses to Colquitt County.
And yeah, close.
It became close.
It was 30-6 or something at early in the second quarter, and then it got real close in the end. I think it was some turnovers, running clock, thing like that. It was trying to be a wild game. Colquitt County has a big recruit that Georgia's after right now, Jay Lamar, running back. He's committed to Georgia right now, so he'll be in Athens this weekend with a slew of other high-level recruits.
He went crazy in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, he went off in that game. Yeah.
So he'll be in Athens after Colquitt County plays Lowndes Friday night.
He will be, yes. Mm-hmm. So there's I saw today there was a long list of recruits going to be in Athens for the Bama game, as you would expect anybody to do. But I think it was like 95% of the Georgia's current commit list is going to be in person. Like the two that couldn't make it are West Coast guys.
Yeah.
And then you have several, I mean, probably 30 or 40 other high level 4 or 5 star caliber recruits.
Take your NIL bag.
I'll take my bag with me. Take it with me. Just start dropping them. See what happens.
Yeah. Big recruiting weekend when you have, the biggest game of the week in town, Bama, Georgia. And I do think that is the biggest game of the week. There are some other good games this weekend, but, I mean, that's number one right now.
Yeah. No doubt. You saw that game days go into Penn State, Ohio State, whiteout, I guess, at Penn State.
Penn State, Oregon.
Penn State, Oregon. So people were like, oh, they can't go to Georgia again. They just went there. They were just there for Tennessee. They got out of the South. They can't stay in the South the whole year. You could stay down here the whole year. SEC Nation will be there. It'll be a big weekend in Athens.
That's a big game in the Big Ten, though.
Yeah, that's a big game, nationally.
If Bama didn't have a loss,
they'd have had a really tough decision to make on that one. So thanks.
They're going
to
be in Tallahassee next week, right?
I don't think they've announced it yet.
I think they have, didn't
Corso's
they? Because Corso's coming back.
Well, Corso's coming back, but I think he was invited by
the school.
I'm not sure that game day's officially announced it yet. I do know that it's the 7:30 on ABC game,
which is odd this year with it, with SEC has held that every week.
Right.
Except for this one.
Yeah. But I mean, Florida State, Miami, you know, big game.
Oh, yeah.
Should be a matchup of top 10 teams.
I remember back in the day, like as a kid, that was like the nooner. Mm. And it was the wide lefts and all the rights or whatever it was. But
it's probably going to be a top five game.
It could be a top five game.
Well, if you're listening to this on the radio on Saturday morning, we will know if Florida State beat Virginia because that game's Friday night as well.
Yep.
But, yeah, if they beat Virginia, then, yeah, it probably will be a matchup.
Because Oregon and Penn State, somebody's coming out.
Right.
LSU could come out. Never know.
Yeah.
Georgia could come out.
Yep.
So we'll see. As we do each week, we start with a little review. Let's start with something that's not in the South. This is the Southern Football Report, but of course we do look at other games of interest around the country. Let's start with Indiana versus Illinois, a matchup of, I think, number 19 hosting number 9, and Indiana just absolutely worked the Fighting Illini, 63-10.
Yeah, I thought I had the notifications on my phone for the top 25 games on any given Saturday or whatever. And I was like, nah, the Apple messed up. Like, that's not the right. Yeah. That can't be the score. And I went on ESPN, and I was like, nah, no way. 63 points?
Apparently, Illinois had some secondary starters out.
I didn't see that.
But
I did see where it snowballed pretty quick. I think Indiana blocked a punt early in the game. Then it was kind of back and forth for a minute, but then it just quickly turned.
Cignetti's the real deal.
Yeah. So Illinois had 2 rushing yards.
Two.
1 for 10 on third down.
Indiana rushed for 312. I did see that.
Yes. And
2 rushing yards?
2. And they were 8 for 11 on third down. So that's how you lose bad.
Well, and the Mendoza kid that transferred, is it Cal? I think he was at Cal. 3 for 5 touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah. They're talking like he's a big-time pro prospect.
Yeah, Georgia was after him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know anything about him when they were pursuing him, but.
Yeah.
I think Cignetti's the real deal. I think Illinois' only losses under Cignetti were to Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Say what you want to about their schedule last year. Everybody kind of thought, well, they don't deserve to be there. That was proven, you know, once they got into the big games, you know, in the playoffs. But here they are again.
Yeah.
Probably going to make the playoff again this year. And this is something I want us to address at the end of the show. But I expect there to be multiple bids from what we're going to call the Power 2 leagues, the Big Ten and the SEC. And Indiana's going to be right there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, their schedule is tougher. In the next few weeks, they got Penn State coming up.
Iowa this weekend.
At Iowa. And I think they play Ohio. They got Oregon.
Maybe.
They've got one of the other. They don't have Oregon, Penn State, and Ohio State. Nobody has that.
Yeah. But they just checked one of those tough games off the list.
Yeah. You would have thought going into the season, even going into the week, that you got a top 10 ranked Illinois. Should have been, I mean, goodness gracious, beating by 50 points.
That's the thing. A 50-point win versus a conference opponent.
A top 10
conference opponent.
Yeah.
The Big Ten probably didn't want that.
No,
they wanted like a 35-24 game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got Iowa, then Oregon, and then they play Penn State on November 8th. They avoid Ohio State.
Yeah.
But still.
You win 2 of 3 there, you're in good shape.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And Illinois shook it. You would think that they did have some guys hurt. Those guys come back. Illinois ought to continue to have a good season,
right.
And that win will continue to look really good. I don't care who you are. You beat a Power 4 team by 50.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good win.
Oh, yeah. Now, Illinois's got USC, Ohio State left.
Yeah. So
they could still make some noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there will be multiple teams in that conference.
They probably won't rush for 2 yards again.
No.
Like, that's
They had trouble against Duke running the ball and didn't break it open until late in the game with 5 turnovers. So, maybe a systemic issue.
Yeah, could be. Their number one running back from last year is now a backup for Georgia.
Yeah.
Scored the winning touchdown against Tennessee.
Bruiser, too.
Yeah.
2 rushing yards.
That's bad.
That's probably sack. Lot of
sure.
Yeah, there's sacks taken out of that.
Yeah.
But still.
Not good. Mm. You know, Bielema wants to ram that thing in there.
Oh, yeah.
So, is Indiana for real, then?
I think so. A lot of those guys he bought with him, I was listening to this, they're still there.
Yeah.
So that they didn't go pro last year, so they're just getting better. And he addressed some concerns on the O-line and some other positions that were a little short last year, and that got that quarterback.
Man, yeah. He's going to have so many job offers at the end of this year.
Well, he just reeks of Riz.
Yeah.
I mean, he does.
Like a teenage boy.
He's so sure of himself.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe to a point that maybe is could get abrasive, but.
Well, he was a little abrasive last year in the playoff run. Toward the end of the year, he was a little bit, you know.
Oh, yeah. Look at me.
Yeah. But I mean, he had every reason to be.
He said, look me up.
Well, and Google me, I think. Yeah, if you don't toot your own horn, though.
Especially in Indiana, you have to.
Right.
You have to sell your team in Indiana because Indiana's not going to sell itself. It's not Bama, absolutely. Georgia, Michigan, Texas.
Absolutely.
In basketball, it might, but not in football.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wonder if they can come up with what it's going to take to, or if they care enough to.
I bet that's a fear in that fan base, is that does the administration care enough about football to keep them around to like outbid a Florida?
Yeah.
If that comes open.
Yeah. When that comes open. This year or next.
It'll come open eventually.
Yeah, that's I think you're right. Oklahoma, Auburn.
Hmm.
Auburn got hosed.
Worst officiated game of all time.
If the SEC comes out and admits fault their officiating,
Oklahoma,
God, it's bad.
So talking about the hidden player, Oklahoma checked with the with the crew before the game.
Yeah.
Also, the wide receiver checked with the line judge
on the way to the sideline.
Yes. Still let them run it. So that's like doubly bad.
Yeah.
After they had a conference call about it, specifically that play in the offseason. With all the coaches, all the crews.
Yeah. Oklahoma also had 10 sacks.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, they didn't win that game on a fluke.
No,
but they were having trouble moving the ball, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what kind of, up to that point, there was like, no, it was a boring game to that point.
So, he broke his hand in the third quarter, apparently.
And he's out. We're talking about Mateer, the quarterback.
Yeah, he's out for probably 4 or 5 weeks.
He led a drive late in the game to win it, but they said it happened in the third quarter. It hit his hand on somebody's helmet.
Man, I had a teammate in high school. He was a baseball teammate. He was also the quarterback, Keith Hare. He ended up becoming a captain in the Army Rangers.
Yeah, he's married to one of Katie's college best friends.
So
crazy.
So Keith is the quarterback, and this would have been 2003, last game of the season, breaks his collarbone. At the end of the game, like down on the 17, there's a minute and a half left. We're driving to win the football game. Nobody knows Keith's collarbone is broken.
Except him.
He gets up, throws a touchdown pass. We win the game. And, you know, Keith, he's walking around afterwards. And we're like, what's wrong with you, man? And he's like, man, I don't know, My collarbone kind of
sticking out the skin there.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be a special kind of tough.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously he was. Yeah, after that, he just went on to become, you know.
Captain America.
Yeah, Captain America. Now, shout out to Keith Hare and his golf Instagram. I think it's Hare Family Golf or something like that.
Yeah, his wife, Catherine, too. Said she was a friend of Katie's in college and would have had no, I think they met like randomly in Hawaii.
Oh, how about that?
And it was a crazy story, but.
Yeah. I don't know if Oklahoma's season just completely just ran off the rails with Mateer's injury, but
we were talking earlier, they have a pretty seasoned backup quarterback that can probably keep the ship afloat for a bit. And in a world where one game, one loss doesn't kill you, especially with a committee voting, and they would be able to say, oh, well, your quarterback was out during your loss to Texas, let's just say, or whatever. That can kind of qualify a loss
they
where a computer
could. They talked about some of that stuff last year when that happened to people.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about that, though.
Like, the reason that Jordan Travis didn't, well, Florida State wasn't.
Everybody has injuries.
Yeah.
Like every team out there, not everybody loses their quarterback for 4 weeks, but every team out there has injuries. And some of it is luck.
Yeah.
Some of it is good, and some of it is bad luck. You know, there are teams that if they get an injury on the offensive line, the season's over.
Yeah.
And for 3 or 4 games, they, you know, they don't have a good backup that they can put in that spot. That's part of the deal. And when you come down, if it comes down to just say 10-2 Oklahoma that is up against a 10-2 team that did not have such bad luck, you still have to count the losses.
Yeah. Right.
So they got Kent State, or they got a bye. Kent State.
So 2 byes.
Yep. Then Oklahoma, then Texas, then at South Carolina. They're saying 4 weeks. So if they split Texas and South Carolina, and he comes back for Ole Miss, They finished the season with five straight ranked games, ranked teams currently. So, a lot of time to make some noise.
Yeah.
I broke my hand one time. 4 weeks is very minimum for that. Didn't feel right for a while.
Well, you also don't have like the elite athletic trainers putting you through all the things that those guys can do.
And the
girls
shots they're going to put in it.
The peptides.
Yeah. Your hand is fine.
Yeah.
Take this.
I mean, he did finish the game on a broken hand. Now, some of that's adrenaline.
But didn't he have surgery?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had surgery this week.
Yeah.
I think Wednesday.
I think their defense will keep them in a lot of games. I mean, Texas is no juggernaut right now.
No.
Especially on offense.
On offense. That's going to be a defensive struggle.
Yeah. Rivalry game, too.
Yeah. They're a good team, man, but Auburn had chances. They missed several
The Cam Coleman on the goal line, not calling that PI was egregious in nature. It was awful.
But, you know, they still scored on that drive.
Yeah, they did score. But, I mean, what if you score five plays earlier? Yeah. It changes the nature of how you go about the rest of the game.
You know, the overthrow when he was wide open, to me, stands out even more. But the touchdown, man, it was second and 22. More than likely, you're kicking a field goal there.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. I've always been one to say that, you know, one missed call, no matter how egregious, cannot be the only, unless it is the last play of the game.
Yeah.
Because there are, you know.
But even then, like, there's other plays that happen.
60-something other plays, you know, that team has run, or 70, however many they run in a game. So, I mean, surely it affects it, but I don't think.
But like you said, 10 sacks is also the story.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can't give up 10 sacks and expect to win. That's like, you can't throw five picks and expect to win. I mean, 10 sacks is debilitating to an offense.
10 sacks is almost as crazy of a stat as two rushing yards.
So Auburn, with 10 sacks, had 67 rushing yards.
Three of those sacks were at the last three plays of the game.
Right, and one of them was a safety at the end of pretty much end of the game. But Oklahoma only had 32 rushing yards against Auburn. 25 of those, Mateer. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about, what's that, 7 yards from non-quarterback?
Did you see the defensive lineman chase the Auburn running back all the way down the field and save the touchdown?
Yeah, that's SEC speed.
This guy.
That's like Jordan Davis Sunday.
He ran 50 yards across the field and caught a running back. And he was gone. And they didn't score.
Yeah.
So.
That's the story we're talking about.
What's his name? It's
hustle and hard work, right? Goes a long way.
Yeah.
He's the pass rusher. He's got three names. I can't remember his name. Big time end.
Jason Pierre-Paul.
He has three fingers.
Something like that. Yeah.
All right. So then the big one of the weekend, of course, was Florida at Miami.
First half snooze fest?
Honestly, I mean, I know that a lot of people will probably rightfully say that Florida's defense is legit, but I was really underwhelmed by Miami's offense. Now, maybe they put it in a low gear and just said, we know Florida can't score, so we don't have to do it. I mean, that's what LSU said they did.
That's what they said. That's what Cristobal also say. He was kind of Signetti-ish on game day on Saturday morning. I'm a declared Miami hater, by the way. I'll just go ahead and declare my allegiance.
We can start a club if you want to.
Let's go ahead.
So Florida's offense was putrid.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
It was awful.
They had
141 yards.
141 yards. 61 yards passing.
Yeah.
When you got a five-star quarterback. He threw 61 yards in passing to the defense last week.
He was missing
five picks.
He was missing guys from here to that bookshelf.
Yeah, it terrible.
It's like, what's going on?
And I just don't. We came into the year thinking we thought we knew Florida had a really good running game. I mean, a solid two-man monster with the backs, and then really, really good returning offensive linemen. And you had 80 yards rushing.
Maybe Miami's defense is really good.
Maybe
they played two really good defenses in a row in Florida and Miami. In LSU and Miami.
Yeah.
That doesn't erase the USF game. If the USF game didn't exist, then you'd say, well, man, they just had two really tough defenses in a row.
Well, I mean, we also came in the year thinking that Florida had the toughest schedule in the country, and they probably do. But I think they're making that schedule look a lot better than it may be. Mm.
So when they drove down there and ran it down their throat to make it 13-7 and then got the pick, I was like, they're about to win the nastiest game ever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They had the ball and they were down 6.
Yeah.
And then
Miami scored twice within 4 minutes. And within 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, they had to go for it from the 20, like, both times.
Yeah.
25, so.
Yeah.
It was an ugly game all around. I mean, Miami did not look good offensively either, outside of their offensive line just being able to mash Florida's defensive front.
Well, Florida's coverage is sticky as all get out.
Yeah.
That's just what they do. Like, they've got corners.
Well, we saw earlier with Miami, too, earlier this year, if you can cover, what's it, C.J. Wiley and the new 17-year-old, number 10, like, if you can cover them, like, you can kind of – they don't really have a tight end to speak of.
As a Florida State fan, I feel better about the Miami game. After seeing the Florida game.
It's been a while since Miami could line up and run it like that, though.
Oh, yeah. They owe a lot of credit to their offensive line coach. What's his name? Mayor Ball or something like that?
I've seen an interview with him.
He's the sole reason that the big five-star recruit, they say, didn't come to Georgia. He went to Miami because he wanted to be developed by that guy. Starting? But he also got like $3 million.
Is he starting?
Oh, he'll be there next year.
Oh, okay. He's still.
All right. Here's the thing, though. Miami's two wins now, besides the USF game, are Notre Dame in Florida.
Yeah.
Which, prior to the season...
You'd love that.
You'd say, all right, two pretty good wins. Right now, we don't know how good those two wins are.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with, you know, LSU. Their biggest wins are Florida
and Clemson.
Those
look terrible right now.
And you're, well, are those really good wins?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
they're not helping you, at least, right now.
No. I think obviously Billy's days are numbered. We were talking before we went live, before we pressed record, you know, his buyout's $21 million or something. And Urban said this week that Florida couldn't come up with the money. And I don't believe that. I think if they decide they want him gone, he'll be gone.
It's happening.
I mean, if Oklahoma State can pay Gundy $15 million, and I know they got T. Boone Pickens and all that, but.
Yeah. They also hadn't paid a buyout in a while. Florida's paid a couple buyouts here recently.
I guess that's true. They're still paying people. I guarantee you they're still paying people.
Because you got, like you've mentioned several times, Brian, that it's not just the head coach. You're having to buy out your assistants also.
Yeah.
In some cases. And then you got to pay buyouts on the other side to get the guy you want. And
if the fans quit coming to the game, so
yeah,
that's it. And Florida is playing hard. If Florida had given up at this point.
That's what's keeping them there right now, is that they continue to play the game. If they had cashed it in already, maybe a different story. And maybe that happens at Texas. I don't, with Texas coming to Gainesville.
Also keeping the players on the roster.
Yeah. Well, that was the game now, right?
Lagway's in a boot.
Right.
He's in a boot.
Billy said this week it was ridiculous to think that he was going to redshirt and then transfer.
That's not, anybody can say that. That's so not ridiculous, because this is all about.
Yes, sir.
It's all about the dollar.
So is he hurt? He's got to be hurt. He was flicking the ball 60 yards on point last year at the end of the year.
Well, he missed the spring. Then he missed 2 weeks of fall camp.
There's been several commentators out there this week talking about that. This, because he did play so bad, he wasn't hitting the guy from here to this 10 foot away on a bookshelf. Like, something's off. Whether either he's hurt or he just is not sharp because he hasn't practiced.
Well, at this point, though, I mean, 3 or 4 weeks into the season, maybe he's not practicing at all during the week.
Maybe. Yeah, who knows? He's not doing something.
Terrible.
Moving on from the review section, I'm going to figure out how to talk tonight. To the preview, let's start with LSU at Ole Miss. All of a sudden, LSU sitting here, ranked, what, number 3 in the country, going on the road with an ailing quarterback.
Did he play last week? Did Nussmeier play against the Cupcake?
Good question. Let's look it up.
So I was surprised this game opened at Ole Miss 2.5. Anybody else?
I've seen it today down to 1.5. Ole Miss 1.5.
I don't know if I'm surprised. Yeah, Nussmeier threw for 273 yards against Southeast Louisiana.
What was the score of that game?
56-10.
Yeah.
Well, at Ole Miss, Trinidad Chambliss.
Fair State.
The new superstar.
Yeah, what's Austin Simmons? He's about to get Wally pipped.
So Austin Simmons' dad has a podcast, right?
Oh, yeah?
And is like really involved in his – yeah, I was hearing something about this. So he's got opinions on things. So it's going to be a weird deal.
We'll see if Lane can navigate it, right?
Yeah. And Lane made a comment today that, you know, somebody was interviewing him, and they were talking about Trinidad starting, and he was like, hold on, do I need to go tell my coaches something? We don't even know who's starting. So keep it in the bag a little bit. But He's played pretty well, man.
He's got to worry about his daughter dating the other team.
I was about to say, we're going to talk about his daughter dating the linebacker from LSU.
And that's not Witt, right? That's his brother.
Yeah. That's one of them.
There's three brothers over there.
They're all from Oconee County.
Yeah. So there's three Weeks brothers that play linebacker for LSU, and it's not Witt that's dating his sister. His daughter is the other one.
When life throws you the unexpected, wouldn't it be great to have someone right there with you? Like a good neighbor, State Farm agent Thomas Horn is there, ready to help protect what matters most to you. Call Thomas today at 229-798-4018 for a free quote. He might just save you money and get you better protected. Serving all of Southwest Georgia, like a good neighbor, State Farm agent Thomas Horn is there. Visit his website at thomasismyagent.com.
So, anyway.
He did come out and tweet that she's cheering for Ole Miss.
Does she go to Ole Miss or LSU?
I think she goes to Ole Miss. I don't know. He tweeted that she's cheering for Ole Miss, and he had like a blood thicker than water kind
of. If anybody can navigate that situation, it's Lane.
I just think he doesn't care. Yeah. He doesn't care what Austin Simmons' dad says.
Right.
Like, he's going to play his guy.
So Trinidad's probably not making much money. Austin probably is.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I think Lane likes to win as much as anybody. And yeah. Like, if a hand is hot.
Oh, yeah. If he were to win this game, he's rolling. Because he's still hurt, right?
He hurt his ankle. So, it's not like he's going to come back in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So.
So, Chambliss threw for 350 against Arkansas, 307 against Tulane.
And ran for
112 against Tulane.
That was a good win against Tulane, actually.
Yeah, Tulane.
Tulane might be a G5 team that can make the playoffs.
They're a good team. Yeah. They're as good as South Florida or better, probably. Or just same caliber
of team. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he came from Fair State. Chambliss did. As a touted running threat. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that he could throw like this, apparently. Or he had not done it.
Well, he might not have had the quarterback coaching that he's getting in Oxford.
Yeah. Or the receivers to throw it to.
Right. Or the offensive line to stand behind.
Right. He's thrown for 300 yards 2 weeks in a row. That's pretty good.
I watched him whip up on VSU. That was a good VSU team.
Yeah.
They got spanked. But
that'll be an interesting storyline. Mm-hmm. Lane will play both of them.
He gives Ole Miss a more dangerous thing to prepare for than the other guy. And the other guy wasn't playing that great either, was the thing.
No, and he was a kind of a sleepy Heisman pick for some folks. He was my potential breakout player of the year early in the year.
He threw two picks against Kentucky that almost cost him.
Yeah, he's got four on the season. Mm-hmm. He's a sophomore. He's played in two games.
Oh, yeah, this is what's happening.
He's from Miami, Florida.
Oh, God, yep, that's what's happening.
So what are the odds if he loses his job? He takes a redshirt year, hits the transfer portal, and ends up in Miami.
And does Trinidad get more years for his D2?
Supposed to now.
Not D2, because that's NCAA.
Okay. So JUCO does.
JUCO, because the NCAA, that's eligibility. It's just a different division. Like, you couldn't go from like a FCS to an FBS team and still keep eligibility. So he's been in the NCAA.
So he's a senior. So Austin could take it on the chin and come back, but he might end up in Miami.
Is he a true senior or a redshirt senior? So he may have a fifth year?
Maybe. I don't know. I hadn't looked that far into it.
But they just get 7 years?
They can play as long as they want. Yeah. Pavia is trying to get like a 17th year.
Yeah.
Might get it.
Absolutely.
Be interesting to see what happens.
But yeah, I think to the game itself, LSU's defense will be tested by a proven offense this year for the first time, right? Up to this point, they've played offense we thought were going to be okay, but like Ole Miss has proven they're a good offense. So we'll be able to see. There'll be a good test for LSU's defense this week.
Well, what do we think about Ole Miss's defense? They give up 35 to Arkansas.
Yeah, that's Bobby Petrino, Arkansas. Yeah.
Offense all only. Yeah, I think they're probably mid, probably above mid, just a hair. Nothing like they were last year.
No. That defense was built to beat Georgia last year.
Yeah.
And they did. I don't really know much about LSU's or Ole Miss's defense. I just, the, the game I think everybody's looking for is the LSU offense, or the LSU defense versus the Ole Miss offense.
So Tulane had been scoring a bunch of points, and they contained old Jake Ratzlaff or whatever, who had been running for 100 plus a yard. So they were saying they made some strides defensively last week. I don't know.
Well, they only gave up, what, 10 points last week?
Yeah.
That's pretty good to a good Tulane team.
I'm going to take Ole Miss at home.
Yeah, so Retzliff, is that how you say his name?
Transfer from BYU.
56 yards passing against Ole Miss, 5 of 17. He was also the leading rusher for Tulane with 51 yards on 8 carries.
I mean, I got dudes.
Ole Miss is the home team.
Yeah, I'm taking them.
Yeah. Are you picking?
Yes.
I'll take Ole Miss.
You got to do something different. You're going first next.
That's fine. I already have it written down.
Gosh, I don't believe in LSU. I don't believe in Brian Kelly. But they haven't lost yet. They are on the road here. They played well on the road at Clemson, but that was Clemson. Gosh, I don't want to take Ole Miss, but I'm going to.
Dude, I could see this being one of those classic, instant classic overtime games.
Well, and this
seven overtimes.
These two teams have that like history,
yeah,
of it being like kind of a nip and tuck. Like it can go either way.
Yep. All right.
And Ole Miss has had a Kentucky game last year, right? That everybody kind of wrote them off after Kentucky. That they can do that. I mean, Lane's teams can lay an egg.
Mm-hmm. They almost lost to Kentucky earlier this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was closer than.
Yeah, I think it was 30-23. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 30-23 at Kentucky, which is a tough place to play.
Yeah. The world's largest. Yeah, I know. The world's largest checkout line.
You think Virginia is a tough place
Kroger to play. Field.
No, I don't.
On a Friday night, it might be.
No, I don't. Auburn at Texas A&M. Auburn coming off the heartbreak.
Texas A&M has a leading receiver in the SEC. That Carver kid, Craver, I don't know how you say his last name, leads the SEC in receiving yards this year. And he's only played 3 games.
Texas A&M scoring a lot of points. They've allowed 24 to UTSA. I guess that's UT San Antonio or something. 22 points to Utah State and 40 to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's tough to pick this one.
But it's a home game for Texas A&M.
Yeah, Texas A&M, literal 12th man.
3:30 game.
Yeah, Marcel Reed has been really good for Texas A&M too offensively. But like you said, their defense has given up a lot of points to people they shouldn't give up the points to. You said I was going first. I'll take Texas A&M.
All right, give me Auburn.
I knew that was coming.
Ooh. I kind of felt that way anyway.
This is a game, I think, as Dustin thinks about his pick, this is a game I think is a turning point in Auburn season. I said earlier in the year, because Auburn's coming to, or Georgia's going to Auburn a couple weeks. If they lost to Oklahoma and they lost to Texas A&M.
Look at what they got coming.
Then they got, I think they have one more game before Georgia.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Is it?
Hold on. I'm looking up Texas A&M. I got a question about.
But anyway, this could be a turning point in their season. If they're going to make a run and do something, I think they have to win this one.
Absolutely.
You're almost in must-win territory.
They lose this one. The fans are already down on you. It's about to turn south.
Right, because they've been building up. All offseason, they were building up to this Georgia game. You know, they're going to have a Georgia at night. It's going to be a big game in Jordan-Hare, one of the toughest places to play in the SEC, so they say. You know, and so they're building up to this, but what if you have 3 losses going into that? What if you have 2 losses going into that, one of them being to A&M? It's a turning point game for them, which is, I think, gives Hugh enough, you know, kind of, fire to get the guys going. But
I bet they're ticked off, man. I bet they're going to come out and play hard. They probably felt like they should have won that game last week.
Oh, no. They also feel like that.
So who else? You got Auburn pulled up?
Yeah, I'm taking Auburn, by the way. Road upset there. Auburn's schedule is Texas A&M this week, bye week, then Georgia.
They got Georgia next.
Then Missouri at home. Then on the road at Arkansas. Home game versus Kentucky at Vanderbilt. Mercer, home game versus Alabama.
They got to win this game.
That's 8-4.
They got to win this game.
That's got 8-4 written all over.
If they're lucky.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a turning point game. You tell the tale the rest of your season. If you're going to be able to compete in some of the rest of these games is if you can beat Texas A&M at Texas A&M.
But I don't think Texas A&M is the same category as Georgia.
No.
First of all, but you're right. They probably are similar to Missouri or to Vanderbilt, maybe Alabama. We'll find out about Alabama this weekend.
Right.
We said that, though, earlier.
That's true.
But, yeah, 7-5, 8-4, it depends on this game.
Big week.
Absolutely.
Big week for Hugh.
Oregon at Penn State. Whiteout, game day, neither team has played anybody.
Anyone. We don't know anything about either one of these teams besides they're both 3-0.
So has Penn State been doing what Georgia did those 2 weeks and just kind of sitting on their hands?
Oregon has quietly not impressed.
Well, they were blowing people out until last week.
Yeah. And but just generally, though, not.
They talking about blowing out P4s. They beat Oklahoma State by 55.
Well.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad.
Oklahoma State, we see they have an opening now.
They struggled a little bit with somebody last week. I can't remember who it was.
All right. Oregon is 4-0 with wins over Montana State, Oklahoma State. Northwestern is who you're thinking about, 34-14. Mm-hmm. And then they beat Oregon State 41-7 to get to 4-0. So they're averaging, giving up about 10 points a game. They're averaging scoring somewhere in the 40s. They've not played anybody yet, but they have played. They have played three Power 4 teams, maybe three of the worst Power 4 teams, but Oklahoma State, Northwestern, Oregon State. Penn State, so far this season, is 3-0, coming off a bye. They've played Nevada, it's 46-11, Florida International, 34-0, and Villanova, 52-6. Raise your hand if you knew Villanova had a football team.
Are they an independent in football?
I have no idea. Probably the Big East.
Somebody really good.
Does that still exist?
Somebody really good went to Villanova, played for the Eagles, running back.
I have no idea.
Way back.
Darren Sproles?
Way back now.
He played at Kansas State.
Drew Aller is averaging about 200 yards passing.
He's probably playing the half.
Yeah, he's probably not playing the whole game, but yes.
Which is also a concern for both these teams, which is what has me a little concerned for my local high school team this week, is some of these teams that haven't played anybody, they've not had to play a full game yet.
Mm.
Can you put together a full game? What happens when you do face some adversity? You haven't seen it happen yet. For some of these folks, you know, the good thing about Georgia that I feel good about skipping the next game a little bit is that you have seen them rise to the occasion in tough moments. You don't know how Penn State or Oregon, how they will respond in a tough moment.
If you were to just take away the two teams and say, all right, one of them's coming off a bye, they're at home, it's a night game.
Whiteout.
The whiteout thing, all of the intangibles. I mean, that's gonna trend toward Penn State's favor.
Yeah.
Penn State also went into this season with everybody telling them that this is your year, and if not now, when? And it's our turn now. Michigan broke through. Ohio State broke through. Now it's Penn State's turn to break through.
Well, and personally for James Franklin, too, can you beat a top five team? You know, he struggled to do that.
Right. Oregon's probably coming into this after, you know, with the bitter taste of a first round, or I guess technically second round exit, but first game of the playoff last year as the number one seed. Give me Penn State. I don't want to pick them, but I'm taking Penn State. Intangibles, if all else is equal.
Yeah, and Penn State has a returning quarterback, which I think is big, too, so I'm also taking Penn State.
I'm going to go to Oregon. I got to catch up. I feel everything you just said, though.
So the standings are, first of all, we should have said this a moment ago. Kyle, first place at 11-6. Dustin, 9-8. Brian, 7-10.
Brian Westbrook is the Villanova running back.
Hmm.
Ah.
And Howie Long also played at Villanova.
Who'd thunk?
All right. Do you want to do Mississippi State, Tennessee next?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Brian wanted to talk about Mississippi State, Tennessee.
I think it is a sneaky good game.
Don't know anything about this except Mississippi State's 4-0 for the first time since 2014.
Yeah.
When they got ranked number one in the very first college football playoff rankings.
Yeah. The Dan Mullen.
The very first.
I remember we were trick-or-treating.
And was it Ole Miss number two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Both Ole Miss and Mississippi State
were 1-2.
Yeah.
We were trick-or-treating that night. And I came back in and I looked at the TV and I said, Mississippi State? Number one? You know, because you didn't know what the committee was going to do back then. But, yeah, it was I don't know much about Mississippi State. Obviously, Georgia played Tennessee. I was really impressed with their offense. I think they're getting some of the injured cornerbacks. It should be back this week is what I've read a little bit on Tennessee. I'm just not sold on Mississippi State yet. Give me Tennessee.
So Tennessee had two stud corners out.
Yeah. I think one of them's coming back this week.
Yeah.
Both of them aren't back. One of them's back.
I'm taking Tennessee.
All right. So Mississippi State's got our old receiver doing pretty good over there. Anthony Evans.
Oh, yeah.
You remember him?
Yeah.
He's doing really good.
Poor man Zachariah Branch. I'll take the trade.
I mean, 4-0 is 4-0.
Yeah.
For Mississippi State, they're probably going to a bowl now.
Yeah.
But well,
Jeff Lebby is a great. I mean, I think he gives Lane Kiffin tree, I guess, if Lane Kiffin has a tree.
He is.
He's a Lane Kiffin guy. So he's going to be really good offensively.
I'm going to take Tennessee, too. But I think it's going to be a good game.
By the way, you know who Mississippi State has next, right?
Georgia? No.
No, that's not until November.
Texas A&M. Mm. So you're taking Tennessee? Mm-hmm. So back-to-back losses there for Mississippi State. And then they go to Florida.
Mm. Get healthy week.
That could be the game that cost Billy his job.
We've been saying that for weeks.
You lose at home to Mississippi State?
If he loses to Texas, is he even making it to Mississippi State? That's been our question the last 3 weeks. Know.
Yeah.
So Mississippi State's quarterback is playing pretty darn well.
I mean, they're 4-0. They beat Arizona State.
Yeah.
You know, but their wins are Southern Miss, 34-17, Arizona State, 24-20, Alcorn State, 63-0, and Northern Illinois, 38-10. Yeah. By the way, after that Florida game, they've got Texas, Arkansas, Georgia, Missouri, Ole Miss.
Oh, boy.
Maybe they are going bowling. Maybe they're not.
Maybe they're not.
I don't know.
We'll see. They got Florida left.
All right, let's move on to the big one, Bama at Georgia.
We've been talking about this game in Athens for at least 2 years, probably more, since whenever the schedule was announced. Georgia has not played Bama at home very often. The last time was Nick Chubb.
2015.
In the rain.
I was there.
A miserable. Me too. I'll admit, the only game that Katie and I have ever left early.
Mm. It was so cold.
It was cold and it was wet and it was rainy.
Yep.
Heard the long Nick Chubb touchdown from the car. Like I said, it's still a shame to say I left early. But
that was the game I knew it was time for Mark Reed to move on.
But, you know, it hasn't happened often. I do think Georgia is prepared for this game because they've played how they played against Tennessee. They are at home. It is at night. I think it's time for Kirby to take the monkey off his back. I mean, he's only beaten Bama in the Natty, which I'm so glad that he did.
Which is a fine game to win. You only
I'm
get
so
one.
Glad he did. I got a keychain right here in my pocket that commemorates that day.
1-6.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Kirby said this week, addressing that, does anybody have a better record than that against Alabama?
Gus Malzahn.
The answer is Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
He was 3-5.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a game where Georgia's, if they can get a couple things right, and I think one of them is you can get the right side of the offensive line right. Whether it's Glover and Hughley, whether it's Gaston and Hughley, whoever it might be, you get the right side of the offensive line right, specifically in pass protection, Georgia wins. You have to get pressure on Ty Simpson.
Yes.
You get pressure on Ty Simpson, he starts throwing the ball at people's feet, he starts overthrowing people,
yep.
It gets a bit erratic. If you don't, he is one of the hottest quarterbacks in the country right now, according to Kirby. And I think if you look at his stats, it's true. But he also hasn't had much pressure in recent weeks. So
Kirby said he threw that game film out.
Threw which game film
from
out?
Florida State.
Well, of course he did.
He said, I didn't know it was raining like that.
It wasn't raining until halftime.
Yeah, I don't know.
It started raining at halftime.
That's what he said. He's like, that was nasty.
Yeah, whatever.
And it rained through halftime. It didn't rain the rest of the game.
Yeah. I don't know.
Slick track. What do you say? Slick track.
Come on, man. That's just Kirby trying to pump up.
I think that's the two keys. Can you get the right side of the offensive line right? Can you get pressure on Bama's quarterback? You do those two things, I think Georgia wins. I think they win by probably two touchdowns if they get those right. Jam Miller is back. How much back is Jam Miller back? I don't know. I think they're getting Tim Keenan back also. But you just wonder, coming out of a bye week, what people have, and Both teams off of a bye. Both teams are hungry. Both teams have a lot to prove. Bama can rectify their season right now with a win against Georgia at home. Florida State loss will be forgotten.
I think they're going to score some points, man.
Bama? I think if you hit Ryan Williams in the mouth early, he don't want to be out there.
Can Georgia generate pressure on the quarterback is the key to me.
TBD.
TBD, they've not done it. They only got 4 sacks on the year.
That's the key to me. If you move him.
Did y'all sack him?
I don't think we have it. Maybe 2 or 3.
But, man, he was on the run.
He was on the run the whole game. Mm-hmm. And that was the difference. He cannot. Maybe he can. He could not throw accurately on the run.
I can't say the guy's name, but the transfer from Army, they said, has had a good week of practice in the off week.
Edo.
I can't say his last name. Yeah. But if he can come out and be a pass rush specialist, Chris Cole has turned it on as far as rushing the passer. In recent weeks, he's kind of become a Jalen Walker-ish mm-hmm. type player as far as his pass rush ability. Those two guys are going to be key to getting pressure. I'm not sure we can get pressure with just 4.
Yeah.
You're going to have to bring somebody else, which is going to leave you man-to-man with Ryan Williams. And like we saw, there was some deficiencies in that area a little bit against Tennessee. they were in places to make the play. They just didn't make the play.
That's a different offense, too.
They do is different. It's different. And so, that's – I'm taking Georgia, obviously, but I do think if they can get those 2 things right, that's my keys to the game.
So what's the word on the O-line? I hadn't kept up with the injury report much.
So Ernest Green probably out.
Okay.
I said Juan Gass is like game time decision, but if you're playing Bama, do you want a game time decision or do you want Glover, who has been really good in the run game? You want him out there, right? I think Hughley seems to have the upper hand there at right tackle right now. And played pretty well the 4th quarter against Tennessee.
Yeah.
So.
I think we're going to have to run it and run it often.
Yeah.
I mean.
The crowd has to be a factor.
Yeah.
The crowd's going to have to be a factor. I'll be there in person.
There you go.
I'll do my best.
You better be hoarse when you come back.
I'll do my best this week.
No, I'm taking Georgia.
All right. So here's my dilemma. I want Alabama to win a lot of football games.
Yeah.
Because Florida State is going to need to be able to rely on that Alabama win at the end of the season, if they slip up, right? They're going to need to be able to say, but we beat Bama,
yeah,
and Bama's ranked number 7 or whatever. They need to be able to count on a good Bama win. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I don't want Alabama to steal Florida State's playoff spot. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It'll because happen.
Bama's got a more difficult schedule than Florida State does. And if the team's records are even, and they start saying things like, well, we're going to throw that out because it was raining, or Jam Miller didn't play, or it was the first game of the season, and Bama's got a win on the road at Georgia that Florida State doesn't have. It's unfair because the 2 teams played.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, we agree with you.
But this is the type of thing that is going to happen if Florida State slips up more than once on their schedule.
I don't think y'all will.
Why? I don't know.
You're saying it's an insurance policy.
The ACC is getting 2 teams in.
Here's how I could see that not happening. And this is the bigger conversation that I actually think we should skip our superlatives and get to this last point, because I think you're going to get at least 8, if not 9 teams from the Big Ten and SEC. Mm-hmm. If they get 9, that only leaves 3 spots. You got an ACC champ and a Big 12 champ and a Group of 5 champ.
Mm. So you're saying only leaving 1 spot for the...
Well, if they get
one spot for an ACC team,
if there are 9 teams combined from the SEC and Big Ten that make it, which to me is way too many, but let's just say it happens, it's statistically impossible for the second place Big 12 or ACC team to get in.
Yeah.
Florida State's most likely, if they run the table, going to play Miami again mm-hmm. in the ACC championship game. Mm-hmm. So even if you win it, October,
you could almost cannibalize yourself, what you're saying.
If you win it in October and then lose it in December.
They wouldn't keep a 1 loss ACC team out.
Never say never. I hope you're right.
Not of this format.
I hope you're right.
If y'all lost to Miami and won all the rest of them, I can't see you.
But what if you lost to Miami twice?
Yeah, what if you lose to Miami October 4th and then in the ACC championship game?
They're not counting those against you now.
They shouldn't, but...
There's not going to be 5 SEC teams then.
So I'm pulling for Georgia.
And Illinois just messed up the chance for 5 Big Ten teams.
But does Indiana sneak in there?
Indiana, Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State. Michigan's out. Probably.
Yeah, what if Notre Dame runs the table?
I hate them already. So
I'm just saying, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Though? There's no room for error.
Oh yeah.
For a Florida,
well, you need Bama to beat Georgia for a resume builder.
Yep.
A resume solidifier.
Yes.
But you don't need Georgia to lose that game, and then
I don't need Bama and Georgia to be 11-1 or whatever in the SEC championship game, and then a 10-2 Ole Miss.
Would you beat Miami, man?
But you got to beat them twice. Yeah. Most likely.
Now, if you beat them in regular season and lost to them in ACC,
it shouldn't hurt you.
Yeah.
But crazier things have happened.
Yeah. But then get rid of this group of five, all that bid.
Well, I agree. Florida State needs to get out of the ACC so that they could play a team like a 21st ranked, you know, Missouri or somebody like that instead of.
Careful what you ask for now.
No, all I'm saying is the schedule that Florida State has this year is hurting them. They were supposed to be able to count on Clemson and Florida to be resume builders.
Yeah.
With a residual, like kind of small Miami win would be good. But now that's flipped.
Now your Clemson and Florida games, you have to win them.
So who's the P5 team probably right now? Is it Memphis?
Or Tulane?
Tulane.
Get these guys out of here.
I'm with you. My thing is, I don't think we should have more than 8 combined from the SEC and Big Ten.
They're probably not going to allow it.
Mm.
How many we get last year? 3? SEC got 3.
SEC got 3 last year.
And who? So.
And the Big Ten got 5?
Well, Notre Dame was in there. ACC got 2.
Yeah. Big 12 got 1.
Boise.
Power.
They got 4.
Big Ten did?
Indiana, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon.
That's 4.
Mm-hmm. We got 3.
So that was 7 last year.
Yeah.
Even if it's 8, though, if it's 4-4.
8 gives you more breathing room.
Gives you a little bit more breathing room.
Yeah. Now, Notre Dame.
There's no currently in the 8 in the coaches poll, there are no group of 5 teams ranked.
But somebody will be.
Well, somebody has to be.
Right.
Is there some caveat if you're not in the top 25, there's not one or something? But, I mean, there's not. And nor is there a group of 5 team ranked in the AP. So, who then becomes the highest ranked group of 5 team?
I don't know. We need to look into this.
BYU is
going to end up being Army or Navy or somebody.
Like, if you're not ranked, how are you the highest ranked?
They will be, though. They will be. This is made for TV. They will definitely have somebody ranked 24th.
So if you've got South Florida in the coaches poll is currently the closest group of 5 team getting votes in the AP. South Florida. And then you've got Memphis, UCF. In the coaches poll, you've got Memphis, same 2 teams. Memphis, South Florida, and Navy.
So probably an 11-1 South Florida is going to be there.
Or they could be 10-2 or 9-3 and win their conference and be the highest, mm-hmm. if they're the highest.
Yeah.
They may all cannibalize each other is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is there's no room for error for teams outside of the Power 2. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm not saying that it's unfair. I'm saying that I need Alabama to be pretty good so that win still boosts your resume, but not so good that they take your spot.
Well, you can probably count on them winning all their games at home and probably dropping a couple
I need
on the
them
road.
To lose to Georgia.
Yeah.
And then I need them to lose to Auburn or somebody else mm-hmm. later in the season and be 9-3.
Well, they got Oklahoma left on their schedule, and Mateer should be back. Now, it is in Tuscaloosa.
They got Missouri. They got Vandy. Got Auburn.
Yeah.
They play LSU. They don't play LSU.
They play LSU.
Yeah. I mean, they got plenty of opportunities.
They got plenty of games to lose.
So, but these are your teams, the ones that you just called out. LSU, if they go 10-2, they're probably in. Ole Miss, if they go 10-2.
That seems to be the demarcation line. That third loss is what knocks you out.
Right. Georgia.
Texas.
Bama. It's going to be 5 or 6 teams that are going to be all clustered. Now, the bottom, 8-4, 9-3s, they're not going to have a chance because there are going to be so many 10-2 teams.
But there's going to be some stuff happen later in the year. There's not going to be as many 10-2 teams as you think there will be.
And all of this is null and void if by the time this plays on the radio Saturday morning, Florida State lost to Virginia. Now, I'll bring it back up again if we beat Miami. But
y'all are going to beat them.
Here's my point. Like, Florida State, if they are a championship contender team that deserves a playoff spot, goes and beats Virginia. If they go and lose to Virginia, they're going to have a hard time getting back into the playoff picture. Because teams like Georgia Tech are probably going to be 10-2 and may make the ACC championship game.
Who Tech's favorite?
Georgia Tech might be 10-2.
Could be 12-0.
They could be 11-1.
They could be 12-0. I don't want to say it, but they could be 12-0.
Have you seen their schedule?
Yeah. It's terrible. Yeah. At the very worst, Tech should be, with the weather playing right now, 11-1.
Yeah.
With a loss to Georgia.
So I think they're double-digit favorites a lot of the way. Not just favorites.
Okay, they're at Wake this week, which is kind of a sleepy, 13 you know.
And a half.
Wake's bad this year.
Okay, then they got Virginia Tech, who has no coach.
Who's going to get Wake's running back, though? I like that guy.
Central's running back's going to Wake next year.
Yeah.
Deuce Lawrence. They go to Duke, which, maybe. Syracuse at home, can you do it twice? NC State's not good. Boston College, not good. Pitt, who knows?
Not good.
And then Georgia in the bins.
Oh, in the bins this year?
Yeah, they're not even playing on what they call it, the flats or whatever.
So Tech got their win over Clemson. That could, that was the one that they were not favored in. They weren't supposed to win. If they win the rest of them and they're 11-0 when they play Georgia, and let's just say they lose, who cares? Because they're still going to the ACC championship game.
Yeah.
And if, you know,
how do they avoid?
So Miami,
how do they avoid Miami and Florida State?
It's the way the schedule failed this year, I guess. I don't know.
The two ACC representatives are going to go to the playoff.
Okay,
but what if one's 9-2, or what if one's 10-2 going in and loses their third loss is in the championship game?
All right, if Tech is 11-1 with their only loss to Georgia, they are in the ACC championship game because they went 8-0 in conference. The loser of the Florida State-Miami game is out.
That's tough.
Assuming the other team handles their business the rest of the way, that team might be 11-1, could have a win over Alabama.
Yeah, but then you're going to have if you have that scenario where Tech is 11-1 going into the championship weekend, you've got the Miami-Florida State winner, and the only other loss for that other Miami-Florida State is themselves, right? So you basically have three 11-1 teams. Then you have a 10-2 LSU. A couple other. They'll get three in. With that scenario, if you got three 11-1 teams, you'll get three in.
What if?
Because somebody in the SEC is going to be 10-2.
All right. So what if then that? What if Miami beats Tech in the ACC championship game? So Miami's in. They would have probably been in anyway as an 11-1 team. Championship game's not supposed to count. Tech is supposed to get in because championship game's not supposed to count.
They probably leap Florida State over Tech for sitting out.
That'll be like a redemption.
The committee does crazy things, so maybe.
Well, and I think, too, we'll understand more what the committee values in a few weeks when we get there first.
Mm-hmm. And Tech could lose to Syracuse.
Yeah,
NC State.
And LSU could lose this week.
Miami could lose to Cal, you know, somebody like, who knows?
There's still so much football left.
Yeah.
And so much is going to happen between now and then.
Absolutely.
Now, we feel pretty good about Tech going 11-0 to get to Georgia because that schedule is awful.
Yeah. This is my point.
It's terrible.
So, where do you want FSU to go? You have a preference?
Well, we're almost out of time. From a fan perspective, I would love to see them in the SEC because you got home games against, you know, Auburn, Georgia, Alabama,
makes
LSU, whatever. Yes. Part of me wants to stick it to the SEC and go to the Big Ten and bring a partner to Clemson, Miami, Georgia Tech, somebody like that, and the Big Ten then gets a foothold in the Southeast, which is what the Big Ten wants.
Oh, yeah.
But from a just like watching games on Saturday, I don't want to watch Florida State Purdue. I'd much rather watch Florida State
Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't pick the game, though, by the way.
Yeah, I wrote down Georgia.
You're Georgia, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking Georgia to win. Home team, night game, everything else is equal. Give me Georgia.
Sounds good to me.
That's been another episode of the Southern Football Report presented by State Farm agent Thomas Horn. ThomasIsMyAgent.com. Thanks so much for listening. You can download this and take it with you on your favorite podcast app. Also, listen to it on Saturday mornings on the Flint Media family of radio stations. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you then.